Hello, and welcome to Maximal Fire. I'm Alex.
And I'm Johnny.
And this is The Road to the Warp. So, Johnny, good to see you again. How have you been, mate?
Oh, been all right. Been all right. Been good. Been eagerly awaiting the LI release. It is coming sooner than you think.
Or not. Sooner than... We thought that this was coming in August, right? So it's not coming sooner than we think. And I think certainly all of our money was on it being at least on... like last weekend's pre-order for this weekend. So I think at this moment in time, I'm thinking it's probably going to be November.
Sure.
Maybe.
They've like teased that there's going to be an LI battle report in the latest White Dwarf. So that's a good sign, I guess. Maybe it will be hot off the tails of that. I feel like this White Dwarf was probably meant to happen while the game was out.
But if nothing else, it's going to be good to see kind of like how the game works.
Oh yeah,
it's almost going to be sure. Like a little bit of a preview without too many of the rules in there, but like of how the game flows, you know, the sort of mechanics that we can expect to see in it, which I think will be quite interesting to see, assuming they've not changed any rules since the pulling. But yeah, me and Johnny are actually getting ready this weekend to go up to the middle of England and take part in the Battle for the Taranth Cluster campaign weekend as part of the Greetings from the Warp event, which does a lot of heresy as well. So we're taking part in the Adeptus Titanicus side, and it is the first narrative event that both of us have attended together. It's the first narrative event that I've attended in 2.5 years, I think it is actually. So, yeah, but I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good couple of days, and I've heard lots of good things about the events that the guys from the Greetings of the Warp do, and this particular one is being run by Tom Stallard, who I've attended one of his events before. It was really, really good, and as part of the Advancing Fire podcast. Which he started doing with a couple of his mates as well. So if you do get the opportunity, go have a listen to the Advancing Fire podcast. They're just starting out. Give them a like, give them a follow on Spotify. And it's good AT content and Legions Imperialis content as well. That's what they're going to be looking into doing. So yeah.
Yeah,
be good. We're going up with our friend Oliver. And we figured we'd put out this podcast kind of just to sort of hype ourselves up and also give you kind of a glimpse into kind of like what we're thinking and how we prep for tournaments and maybe discuss a little bit of the event pack and hype ourselves up for the weekend. And you've got some plans for some filming this weekend as well, haven't you, Johnny?
Yeah. We're going to look at doing a vlog of our kind of experience up north. Yeah, it should be pretty cool. It's, you know, first time we're going to do it, so we'll give it a good try. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a cool weekend.
Yeah, and if you want to see what I look like at 5 o'clock in the morning while trying to drive up to kind of Northampton way, then that'll be the place to go and check it out. It may just be a lot of me cursing and swearing and telling everybody to be quiet in the back seat. But we shall see. We're going to do the vlog, aren't we? And then I guess we'll come back and we'll do another little mini podcast and we'll talk about how it went. It's nice to not be running an event and to kind of just enjoy it for what it is.
Oh, for sure. Get to meet all the people, get to play some AT. I mean, what could be better, right?
Beer. And apparently there's beer as well. And apparently there's like a barbecue or something. Like, I understand that they do epic food there as well, so... Excited for that. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Before we get into that, we'll just give our new patrons a shout out. So big thank you very much to John Wallace Howell and Dan, who have signed up since the last podcast went out. Thank you very much, guys, for joining us. If you are interested in supporting the show, there's now a couple of ways that you can do this. We've kind of tried to diversify how people can support the channel. The main one is Patreon. You can back us from as little as £1, and that goes up to like £3 and £5, and you get additional bonuses and benefits for backing us at those higher tiers, like 10% off Battle Bling. We've also started experimenting with all patrons that you can now watch our videos ad-free through Patreon. So if you do watch us on YouTube, the ads can be super annoying. You can now find it as well directly on our Patreon site. But that's one way. And the other way is, we talked about it last time, but Max Morfire merch is now live, is now available on Redbubble. So you can like literally get whatever you want. I've not been fussy. I'm happy to put our logo on any bit of tat that Redbubble can do. I think you can get cat mats with Max Morfire on it. You can get mouse pads, t-shirts, hats, water bottles, stickers, mini skirts. Yeah, it's the possibilities are endless.
Maybe we put in a rapid order before the event and we come decked in entire Max Morfire like apparel. So top, jumper, jacket, trousers, shorts on top of them, obviously Max Morfire. Hats, multiple hats, because they'll probably do different styles, right?
I'm hoping that I'm not going to show my age here and you're just going to shoot this whole thing down, but I hope you've seen the film Wayne's World.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Absolutely.
I'm picturing the scene where Garth is just sat wearing all Reebok stuff, talking about selling out.
Yep.
I think that might have to be, us.
Be a mascot.
Yeah. But no, for everything that you buy through Redbubble, there is a very, very small markup on that, which goes on top of the costs that the printers take, and we get whatever that little markup is. So anything that you buy through Redbubble, the channel will also get a very small hit back. And not forgetting as well, if you use the Battle Bling affiliate link, that's the third option. Anything that you buy through the Battle Bling website using our affiliate link, the channel gets another little tiny bit of kickback from that as well. So if you do want to support us and any of that sounds interesting, then please jump in and get spending.
Oh, yeah.
One of our friends, Sarah, she has just launched her own painting commission service. Now, Sarah is somebody who's very, very active on the AT scene. She's been on the Discord server, I think, pretty much since we launched it. And on top of that, she's an excellent painter and she does sort of event award-winning work. She's won plenty of best painteds in her time. And she has just opened Siren Studios. So if any of you are in the market for some commission painting, I would recommend that you go ahead and hit Sarah up. And see what you can come to an agreement on. She is very, very good at Titans, but she is willing to paint anything, you know, like any commission studio. But certainly if you've seen, if you've been on the kind of AT hashtags, then you've probably seen some of Sarah's work already. She's quite prolific. Do give it a shout. We'll put the link in the description and you can take a look check out Siren Studios.
Oh, yeah. I heard she's currently painting up the toddler-sized Cthulhu model that you got from Cthulhu Death May Die.
Yeah,
amazing war game Kickstarter. This literal like child-sized Cthulhu.
It's ridiculous. It is an absolutely ridiculous model. Why you would need it in your life? I don't know. But it doesn't stop it from being really fucking cool.
Yeah, you get like a rule set where you actually fight on Cthulhu, like you do the last mission on the big Cthulhu miniature. So yeah, extremely sick, and I'm sure she'll do an amazing job.
I think she's got a Warbreaker in her backlog as well. I think she's painting up a Warbreaker.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. yeah, follow her on Instagram. Again, we'll put her Instagram details, I think, on in the description as well. And last but not least, we've actually got two more quick little shout outs that we wanted to get in. The first is to our friends at Loon Constructs. So you may have heard, we've mentioned Loon a couple of times. We put their details in the description before now. And they are a printing service in the UK, which deals pretty much exclusively with grimdark terrain. And we were very, very fortunate enough that Doug from Loon Wolf has actually gifted us with essentially a good table's worth of terrain free of charge to help support our events. And until that turned up, I'd not really kind of seen like what he does or the quality of his prints or anything, but you know, a few of the other ones in the UK had gone down. They were well priced, they you know, were very competitive on the market. And so they were a really good kind of newcomer to the scene to kind of fill some of the gaps that some of the previous printers had kind of left behind. When this stuff kind of came through the post, I wondered if he'd done some kind of special deal or kind of special service for us as a channel. Because when everything arrived, not only was it like really good quality prints, like I certainly couldn't print any better than it is at home, but this is how it arrived. So it arrived pre-assembled, primed in grey primer and magnetized. So
absolutely insane, like incredible.
There's literally nothing that I need to do with it out of the box. And what they specialize in is that service. So if you buy something from them, they will assemble it for you. They will clean it up, wash it, magnetize it if it requires magnetizing. They will prime it. So literally all you have to do is paint it straight out of the box, which I have never heard anybody kind of doing that level of service, and especially at the price that they're doing. I received... as well as getting my favourite 3D printed model of all time, the Samson, I also received the landing pad, which is the ALS landing pad by Grimdark Terrain. And it came mounted already on a MDF board. These in particular are an absolute nightmare when it comes to getting the lines straight. And they sometimes require a bit of filling, as I found out when I did my printing. He's pre-filled it. He's painted it, sprayed it with, you know, high quality primer. There is nothing that I need to do before I need to start painting that. So I just felt really obliged to kind of give him like the kudos that he deserves. Like it's really good quality prints. Really, really impressed, really. And he, if you go onto his website, there isn't kind of a huge amount of products that he sells on there for Grimdark Terrain. And there's a reason for that. So he sells a lot of the kind of standards, like let's call them STCs, that that Grimdark puts out, and they are usually slightly cheaper than his competitors have been before. So I think that the Samson, I believe, is about £40. The big excavator, which was normally like £90 to £100 in most places, about £80. So he's already competitive, but he's more interested in having a conversation with you about what do you want on your board. What do you foresee for your board? Like the Grimdark Terrain stuff can be quite intimidating to know what you want if you've never dabbled with it, because it's got now thousands of different components that you can do to create something. So he wants that conversation with you, and then you will essentially build your boards together, and he will put it all together, print it and ship it out to you, which is truly awesome. So if you've got something very particular in mind, you need something for an event, give Doug a message on his website and see what he can do for you. But yeah, definitely two thumbs up from Maximal Fire. Really, really pleased with.
Oh yeah, insane service. Really, really good.
Yeah, yeah, and that's all coming your way to paint for Beachhead. Just so you know,
I cannot wait.
Yeah, because I've painted enough terrain. It's your turn.
No, I'm so stoked because the quality of all of that looks insane. I will I will do it justice.
I mean, we've already got some good quality Grimdark terrain boards as it is, but having another one as well. Yeah, I think that brings, like, we're going to have something like half of our terrain at our events is going to be Grimdark, which is amazing because it looks fantastic. And there's nothing really which kind of captures the vibe as much as, well, beyond maybe the official stuff. Like, in some respects, I prefer the Grimdark aesthetic. It's really, really good.
For sure, for sure. Might do a snowy theme again.
Yeah, why not?
Add it to my current collection of snow stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's gonna look sick.
Oh, give yourself a bit of versatility on that board as well, so it's not just rocks.
Exactly, exactly. Like a little research outpost or something like that.
Oh, you know what you could do?
In the snowy rocks. Oh, go on.
Hear me out. The thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Do it like John Carpenter Arctic base. Mm-hmm. Kind of, that'll work really well with some of the bunkers and all of that kind of stuff.
With the landing pad, yeah, for sure. The tower as well. Yep. Like, you could maybe be a little trek away. Oh, God.
And we've got two of the little flak bunkers as well. Like, Yeah. That'll look great. We'll just have to buy another board, another snow mat now, just to fit all of the extra stuff that's going to be coming off your other board. But it'll be all right.
Of course. Yeah.
Last but not least, Troublemaker Games, they sent me a very exciting little box of happiness the other day, and I managed to get my hands on a free copy that they provided free of charge to us of their new City Crushers game. This was a Kickstarter which launched the beginning of this year, and if you like AT and you like orcs, which is something which is a little bit kind of missing from the moment, I haven't read through all of the book yet. So I don't know if they specifically call them orcs, but I mean, look at it. I mean, it's orcs.
It's orcs with a C. Wait, no, they have that copyrighted too.
I thought they were orcs now because they couldn't copyright it.
Oh yeah, because they can't. Yeah, they're orcs. 100%.
100% orcs. Big stompy robots. Of an orcish kind. So we've got a couple. We've got a whole set of that we're going to be painting up. We'll probably do a review on them when we've kind of got through all of that, and if time permits, we'll try and do like a demonstration back rep or something. I understand that the game is going to be shipping from to all of its Kickstarter backers. It should be going out soon, but it's also going to be available to buy separately from Vanguard Games as the box, which is 110 quid. And let me just, that's for the big box that they did, which includes 10 scenery sprues, and we already know that we love the Troublemaker Game scenery. So there's lots of ruins in that, as well as regular buildings. There is 6 capital crushers. Those are the big, they're on 80mm sized bases, so kind of a little bit bigger than a Warhound, I believe. And then it comes with 16 city crushers, which are kind of stomper size models, and also an airbase, the airbase that they do on Troublemaker Games. So yeah, like really good value, 110 quid, pretty good, pretty competitive compared to other games, especially with the amount of plastic you're going to get inside of that. So really looking forward to playing City Crushers.
Hell yeah, get our orcs on.
Yeah, I've already got a colour scheme in mind.
Oh, what are you going?
I think I'm going to have to go kind of like the quite stereotypical Bad Moon orcs.
Oh yeah,
so yellow with the green heads. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of red before, and I did Evil Suns when I had my orc army, so I don't want to do Evil Suns again, but I'm going to try and go for a very orky Bad Moony sort of vibe, I think, for mine.
Yeah, I was thinking Evil Suns. I'm so down to do just a big red stompy horde of Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we will get you some decent photos, and we'll get you some painted versions of that when we've had a chance to get it all together. Whew. Okay. Wow. We haven't had a lot of news to kind of talk about recently, so that's quite a lot. It feels in one go. Mostly my own fault for forgetting Sarah last time and the Siren Studios shout out. But also, if you haven't seen or listened to our last episode, we did the Titan tier list, and we knew that that episode was going to be a chunky boy.
Yeah, that was a bit long.
I think that came in about 2.5 hours in the end. So we tried to strip out and keep all of the news out of last episode, so that we can, yeah, just focus on the content, because we knew it was going to take a while. Right. Yeah. Before we move on, last bit, we did a listener's survey. We put out like a Google survey link into the ether about a week or so ago. We've already had over 100 replies to it, which is amazing that over 100 people kind of care. But if you haven't, and if you would like to participate, the link for that will also be in the description. This is what we kind of try and do around this sort of year, to try and work out what do you guys like, what formats do you like, what content do you want to see, and also do a bit of fact finding, like how good a job are we doing on sort of promoting like our website and getting people onto the Discord and making people aware of the other things that we do, like the FAQ pack that we release. So if you can spend literally 5 minutes to complete that, that would be really appreciated by both of us. I had a look at some of the answers already. One of the things, and the question, which was like, why do you listen or tune in or subscribe to Maximal Fire? One of the responses was Johnny's mullet.
Hey, let's go. Let's go. It was worth it. It was all worth it in the end.
The mighty mullet and hair, I think.
Shout out to anonymous Maximal Fire fan. Yeah.
I could probably find out who it was exactly if you want to send him a gift basket.
No, that's right.
Right. Okay. Let's talk events. So.
Oh, hell yeah.
Barrow? Battle for the Terranith cluster. 2-day narrative event. This weekend, it's a big one. 2,500 points aside. So.
Oh, yeah.
Considerably bigger than we normally kind of have it. And there's going to be 4 games split over 2 days. Having a look through their event pack, I was sort of quite relieved to see that the standard restrictions on Acastus Knights seem to still be there for the weekend. I think, as we talked about last week, when you go to other events, it's interesting to see what restrictions other people put in. And that seems to be generally kind of... in there. Interestingly, they've also kept the Warbringer Carapace going to be run with full arc. Oh, actually, that means I need to adjust my list, because I'm 25 points better off.
Oh, look at that. There we go.
So that was something that the community's kind of picked up on since the release of, I think it was the Loyalist Legions book, wasn't it? There was a typo in the book which said that the Carapace weapon on the Warbringer was arc and not corridor, and everyone was like, that makes so much sense. Yes, yeah. Now there is a reason to take the Warbringer. And then they changed it back again with the traitor book. It's a shame. I that would have been a happy accident if they'd have persisted that, because it would give the Warbringer a bit more purpose, like we were kind of talking about last time.
For sure.
And one of the interesting things as well is they say, we want to see players fielding multiple Titan Legions working together. The additional stratagem point rule for this is not in play for the event. If you want to run Legio Mortis and Legio Furians together, then your opponent would not get 2 additional stratagem points. That's quite nice. I quite like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you're going to be talking quite a lot of stratagem points anyway at 2,500 points. We're going to have a hand of 10 stratagems to choose, and we're going to spend 8 points, so having 2 more is kind of a little bit excessive. But I think
it's an example of really good event planning and event design, right? Because it both lets you have some narrative fun with 2 legios, which is obviously, you know, not a thing that you'll commonly do both casually or obviously competitively, but also then people that don't have like one huge Titan Legio are still able to sign up and go to an event, which narrative events, I think, are usually less popular than competitive ones anyway, so you want to kind of open up that catchment area quite wide.
I don't know if they're less popular. I think that they appeal to a different type of player.
True.
I think there's often a draw to go to tournaments because there's prizes more often than not at the end of it, whereas you're not kind of like expecting prizes from a narrative. But there's also narratives for them to work, they have to be kind of reasonably, you have to be invested in kind of the narrative at the end of the day, so they have to be well run. I think it's definitely easier running a tournament, but you know, I mean, there's certainly a lot more tournament events out there, so I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think that that is because they're more unpopular. I think less people are running them because they take more work, and maybe they're just, I think the meta has kind of shifted slightly. It used to be all narrative, and then it moved to tournament. So I would like to see more narrative events. Please put on more narrative events, everybody.
Yeah, I don't think narrative events are necessarily too much more work in the sense of on the day, because obviously the players will be a lot more self-governing when it's casual games, just having a bit of fun, doing some narrative games, you know what I mean?
You're not going to get people being quite so salty that we sometimes see.
Yeah, you're not going to get salty players. There'll definitely be a much better vibe. Not that Titan Anarchist events don't have a good vibe already, because they do. Like, the player base is awesome. But, like, there's less on the line. We're just here to make a good story, whether you win or lose, right?
Yeah. I think with the narrative, there's more planning involved up front.
Prior. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so excited. But it's going to be so cool.
I wonder if the reason that they put that rule in there is because they acknowledge that probably not that many people have got 2,500 points worth of Titans. So to kind of open it up to be more accessible, to your point, a lot of people are probably going to have two 1750s, and then you can kind of smash those together again, you know, or maybe bring out your Warmaster Titan as well. So, I mean, there is some spicy combinations that you can do with two Legios at that many points.
Yes.
Spicy. I've had to regulate myself a little bit because I have a fair few Titans in my cabinet behind me. And, you know, we have the podcast to think about, and our reputation to think about. You say well, because I know what you're bloody well taking. I thought one of us needed to regulate ourselves.
Right. You and me are complete opposites, because I'm pretty well regulated when it comes to normal tournaments, but like, I've been let off the leash now. Like, I'm going for it. I'm gonna I play melee Vulpalists in tournaments and suffer so that at a narrative event I can combine them with Tritonis and do some janky bullshit with their it's not janky, but do some bullshit with their
Stygian
smoke
Veil.
Templates. Stygian Veil, thank you. To give my advancing melee Vulpa Reavers cover as they run up the battlefield.
We need a bullshit horn.
Honk it. I don't care. I am such a, I normally am a very, very chill player, but I have these two Titan Legios, and I was like, there is no way that I'm not going to do this, because it's going to be funny as hell.
I mean, also as well, you fall into that category where you don't have 2,500 points of one Legio. So, and the two Legios that you have are Tritonis and Vulpa. So,
well,
there wasn't much option.
I could do it with Vulpa, because I have the
The Warmaster.
Warmaster,
the Iconoclast.
The Iconoclast one, the melee one for them, which I still need to get painted. So I could do it, but then I would just be mobbing myself as I did before in tournaments, where just running Vulpa, doesn't do well, and the Iconoclast isn't great.
I think you speak to Mark Mallard, he'd probably say otherwise, but...
Okay. I retract that statement. if you run Volper well and like very well optimized and kind of made a meta for them as Mark has, and so amazingly excellently done, but I just want free Reavers to run up the board with double Chain Fists and Zoidberg on the enemy lines until, you know, something starts exploding.
Now, are you aware that you're going to have to remember both the combat rules and the shooting rules? Because when you're doing Volper, you don't have to worry about the shooting, so you might need to remind yourself how to do the shooting for the Tritonus.
And when I do Tritonus,
yeah,
I have to worry about the melee.
Tricky.
So,
like, all of that in one head? I'm not sure.
I know. I honestly... it's a common theme. If I run like three Reavers with identical loadouts, I do that in a lot of war games because the mental load capacity is not that great. So yeah, we're gonna rock out with some Reavers. Gonna have a couple of Warlords providing some fire support and some Warhounds to nip at the heels as the Reavers do their thing. Do the turbo Macarena down the board, just cutting through. Kind of free stuff.
and this is, of course, like the Princeps traits for the event are going to be randomly rolled and not going to be picked. So I'm assuming one of your Princeps traits is going to try and roll on their Tritonus Princeps traits in the hope of getting the double Stygian Veil.
Yeah, there is a 1 in 3 chance that this weekend this list evolves from stupid to like fucking insane if I get to Stygian Veil twice in a game. 1 in 3 chance if I roll out at the beginning of the weekend, and it will be, yeah, it'll be glorious.
Well, you'll have absolutely no excuse to not get those Titans into combat.
Exactly. And even if there is a turn where I get I get countered, what's it called? What's stratagem called?
Box blackout.
Yeah. I get Vox Blackouted, either I'll have another backup Stygian Veil, or, you know, by then there's enough Reavers going down the board to, you know, not make that much of a difference if they get a little bit shot. So I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. And it's going to be fun to kind of experiment with some of these things. I was originally going to be taking Microphonicus, and I planned on taking the big boy, the Warbreaker, with me as well. And I said to the guys, can I bring this? Because it might be cool to just plonk it out on the table and go, right, fight a Warbreaker. And I've never actually played with a Warbreaker myself. However, I'm not sure if that's going to happen anymore, because I have no idea how I'm going to get that thing in one piece halfway up the country. It was touch and go getting it down the road to Beachhead, and it's 3D printed resin. It's quite brittle. I have a box for it, but I'm not convinced that it will survive the weekend if I do bring it. It may still make an appearance if I do manage to do it, but I don't really want everything to be riding and people getting their hopes up that they might get to fight against one of those. I think if it does turn up, I think I will bring it as a showpiece to put to one side and not touch.
And cut to Alex drunk as shit in the hotel room, cradling this thing like a baby while its arms just like fall off in his like iron drunken grasp.
What's
happened to the baby?
That too.
Leave it at home, bro.
I was considering a couple of options with mine. One of them was a Furion's Extergamus, backed up by a Lanius Gara Corsair. And this is when I had to take myself to one side and give myself a talking to, and tell myself off, because, yeah, it's a narrative event, and I didn't want to be that guy, because, you know, the Furion's Extergamus is incredibly strong. Lanius Gara on the charge are very, very strong. And, yeah, I figured might be a bit much, and so they are going to be staying at home. And I think I've settled on bringing one Legio. So I know I can take two, and I can mix it and match it. But I'm gonna settle on just bringing the one. But it will be interesting to see what people bring, because as I said earlier on, there are some spicy combinations which you can kind of do with two Legios at this sort of points value. One obviously is the one that you're bringing. Well done, you. Exterminus Furians with anything is going to be pretty spicy. I do wonder how many Warm Masters we're going to see for the event.
I think people will bring them. It's because, I mean, who's ever playing with a War Master, right?
Yeah, but the other thing as well is the Psi Titan. I wonder how many Psi Titans we might see from the Loyalists.
Oh, we'll get Psi Titans, sure.
Yeah, and I was considering taking a Psi Titan myself, and they are spicy, but I've never actually used it properly. I think I've played one game with a Psi Titan ever since I've owned mine, which is sad, really. You don't really get the opportunity. You spend all this time painting it all, and you don't actually get the opportunity to properly use it. So that's kind of on the back of my mind as I might do it. But yeah, like I say, Vulpa and Exterminus Furians, for instance, would be a interesting combo. Because then you've got the two strongest parts of two strong Legios that you could stick in there. One of the best shooting Legios in the game, one of the best close combat ones in the game. Yeah, I wonder what we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if we see quite a lot of kind of second maniples of Ordax, because you could take quite a hefty, maybe like 1750 points of a primary Legio, and you'd still probably have enough points in there to fit in, you know, four or five Warhounds for either Solaria or for Ordax, as an example. So I wonder how many of those we're going to see, but I've settled on, I think I'm just going to take my Tempestus. So I've got pretty much spot on 2,500 points of Tempestus. I like the fact that they're all based the same, they'll all look the same on the table. There's a little bit of snobbery on my part. I like everything to look and match. Whereas I've got different base schemes on different Legios, so having a Mars base is half of it, and having a city base on another, it just kind of I would be annoyed with myself for that. So
yeah, I was very close to rebasing my Vulpa, and I was like, no, it's not worth the stress.
No.
What is going to be stress though is facing a 2,500 point force of knights. It'd just be like playing 40k basically with the amount of activations.
I hadn't considered that. Thank you. Now I'm going to start crying in a corner.
Your dreams. Yeah.
2,000 points was bad enough. However, I think I might be okay with that, because my list has got two Bellicosa Volcano Cannons in it.
Is that enough?
It would certainly hurt. Like,
it will hurt, yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, two Volcano Cannons to basically take out the Acastus Knights as early as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be. I'd certainly feel a bit more confident than against other Legios that might struggle. A War Master would rinse that to pieces with its 16-inch short-range fusion plasma guns. Mm-hmm. They would eat that up. But yeah, I wonder if we will see any. I reckon we probably will.
It would be funny. Yeah, and I think it would be hilarious. Like, this is the thing, you know. Sure, it's like inconvenient, and at a tournament, it would be like, oh, what are you doing, bro? This is just funny. Like, it would be very, very hilarious, basically, them moving each individual knight like a 40k army.
Well, knights have this kind of, like, at large events like 2k plus, knights are, they fall down on one of two sides. Either you face the absolute antithesis of your force, and they just tear you to pieces and you lose convincingly as a knight player, or you're going to cause so much upset and pain that it's you know, they're going to walk all over. There's never kind of a middle close ground. It's always Rothel stomped or Rothel stomping. And a lot of that comes down to the Legio that you're facing and the loadout that they have and whether or not you get drawn against another Night List or not, because that's not fun. Two Night Households fighting against each other.
I would love to see it.
That's
it.
Slog.
Would be a spectator event.
Yeah,
it definitely would be a proper
slog, because I suppose if you're taking a load of lances, then they would pass each other's ion shields and stuff. But a lot of anything other than lances or a castus generally are going to be pinging off of ion shields. A lot of strength 6 in there, a lot of strength 4. If you're looking at kind of Questorus and Megaris and, you know, non-lancer Cerastus variants. So,
and you imagine just a line of lancers doing the last charge of the Rohirrim against like a Questorus force or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wonder if anyone will do that. There'll be one. There'll be at least one person, I'm sure, who's got 2,500 points. Or what you might also see is a mix of the two. Somebody might take 1,500 points worth of Titan Legion and 1,000 points of Knights. Because you could fit it in. In fact, you could even do 1,250 quite easily if you take like a Ferox Maniple and Knights. But you would be looking at the lighter Lancer variants, I think, at that point to fit in a full banner, a full lance, should I say. So, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I
imagine there'll be one or two people that do that. I mean, there'll definitely be Knights there, like just to fill out points, right?
Yeah.
Those size events, like you have like a lot of leftover points. Yeah.
I'm going to take a Maniple that I've never taken before. So I'm going to go with an Arcus Maniple with the Warbringer and the Warhounds. Mm. And I'm going to also then have a Axiom Maniple as well. So trying not to keep falling back on my default go for Ferox, because that seems to be what I'm always sort of taking. But if I've worked out the points, I might be able to mess this around again. But I kind of worked it out that I could have a an Arcus with three war hounds and a Warbringer, and then an Axiom, which is one Warhound, one Reaver, one Warlord, and a second Reaver. So
nice.
Yeah, nearly two full Maniples, but not quite. Try and use some of the kind of Tempestus special rules. I'm going to take at least one. I might be able to fit in a second now if I don't have to take tracking gyros of the Kazmata laser blasters on the Warbringer. So that extends my short range by 6 inches, which means that it takes me up to, I think it's like 22 inch short range on the lasers for the laser blasters for the Warbringer. And because it's an Arcus, you can bend light and fire those guys indirect.
So, oh yeah. Ridiculous. I love it.
I'm gonna barrage my laser blaster. Right, okay. You do you. I always find it funny, like played a couple of games against George and he took the Arcus and he had Gatling Melter, and it was just basically just hidden behind a building, and we were saying like it was like some of the scenes you see in like Mogadishu or something, where people firing AK-47s up into the sky. Be a bit like that, but with Titans firing up these Gatling blasters up into the air and then them sort of raining down.
Yeah. blinking off the eye, the shields.
Yeah, but I was trying to find a Maniple that I wanted to, I don't often take the Warbringer, so I wanted a reason to take it. And that particular Maniple, as long as the Warhounds can see its target, then you only scatter by d6 inches, which on a 5-inch pie plate is huge. It's a big win. Because it basically means that you're, unless you roll a six, you're probably going to hit something, and it's not going to scatter too far. So, yeah, that should be quite fun. And then the Arcus Axiom Maniple, I think I'm going to run with a kind of a mixed loadout. Probably have a Reaver in there with a close combat weapon and another one just set up for mid-range brawling or something. And then that one, the War Hound in that one, I think is the one I'm going to combat drop. So you can the Tempestus kind of deep striking Warhound ability.
Yeah.
Because why not? I've got 8 stratagem points that I can play with. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's always good fun. He can't move when he drops, but there's something very satisfying about, like, a Warhound just appearing on your back lines and in your rear. If I come across any Psy Titans, then that might be a good distraction to kind of deal with that.
For sure.
But I haven't decided if I'm going to take them as Loyalist or Traitor yet, because I think on the day we're going to decide what we're taking. But I figured I can be fairly ambiguous with the with those guys. Your Vulpa, less ambiguous. They're definitely not loyal.
No. Yeah. No, that you can't get away with my Vulpa. They're a little bit too converted and corrupted for the loyalists. All this talk about them though has made me want to see if I can get the iconoclast done in time and just run pure.
You have 3 knights. Pure...
Yeah, and
how much of it is left to do?
I mean,
most of
trim.
It.
Trim and most of it.
It would be a hilarious list to run.
Yeah, because it'd be iconoclast mutated up the fucking wazoo, right? Three Reavers, and then if I have points left over, either tawny pattern Warhound or up to 4 Lancers, right?
Well, your War Master will be just over 1,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have about, I reckon, 1,400 points to play with.
Yeah, 3 Reavers is
900. So you might be able to fit it in. Like, well, if you're all close combat, it's probably 320 each, maybe 330 each. That's before corruptions, though, aren't you? You're corrupting everything.
Yeah, corruptions, upgrades. I mean, obviously, I can not take the piss and calm them down a bit to save some points. But I would get out activated to shit. I really would. It would not. I don't know. It would be really fun, though. Yeah. I would love to use it.
Well, this is the trade-off, isn't it? Because I think I'm taking 8 activations across my list, but I don't have the big thing. You know, I'm hoping I'm just playing the game normally rather than going for the big stuff, which... The more we're talking about it, the more I think maybe I should try and fit in a Psy Titan, or I should fit in a War Master, because how often do you get the opportunity to use them? You don't. Mm. My Gryphonicus have got a War Master already painted. I could use those.
That would be sick.
Or I've certainly got enough points worth of Lania Scara, and they've got an Iconoclast with them.
That would be so sick.
I don't want to be changing my plans like 3 nights before the...
Why not? Live in the moment, Alex. Look, your heart is calling out to playing something cool that you'll probably not play for years.
Yeah.
And when are you next going to use that thing, right?
It's true. It's true.
I want to win because I'm not the best Titanicus player out there. That's your job.
No, thank you.
don't worry, I know.
I'm not the best. Also... I'm not the best. But I will take the compliment.
Yeah, no, don't. No, it was too much already.
Yeah,
I can see the head inflating.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about myself now. 60% of the time, I win every time.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, very good. I don't know. I don't want to be gamey, but.
You need every trick in the book to help you along.
To get Vulpa into combat at least. Yeah, maybe. Maybe we just go pure Vulpa. But like another thing that worries me is the spirit of the event like they want you to take two different Legios
Well,
or
it does say we want to see players fielding multiple Titan legions working together.
right,
So
that's
it is encouraged,
pretty encouraged.
but you know, and they've obviously given you that kind of benefit for taking two. But I don't see it. I don't, you know, you're not going to be penalized for only taking one. I think they just want to see some diversity on the board. 'Cause I don't know how many people are playing. I want to say it's like 16 players or something, maybe slightly more. So maybe they just want to see the diversity.
Then how
But
would you get cool titans that, like iconoclasts that are 1,000 points and
yeah, the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking, when's the next time I'm going to get to play four games of 2,500 points? Like, you know, that's four games I would get in with my War Master, or four games I get in with my Psi Titan,
you'd probably be
which,
sick of it afterwards as well, especially if you use a War Master.
yeah. The big problem is we've not tested any of our lists, and we've done no prep for this event
No.
whatsoever compared to normal. We'll turn up at.
As you can maybe tell, I didn't even know where we were going in the country. I just knew that I had to get to Alex's for like 5 o'clock in the
And
morning
Alex
on
will sort out the
Saturday.
rest.
And my partner, she kept asking me, where are you guys going this weekend? And I was like, up north,
Yeah,
but
is
then
it
couldn't
Wellingborough?
say
It's
anything.
something like that. It's just outside
Didn't you say
of.
Northampton like a
Yeah,
minute
it's just
ago?
outside of Northampton. I think it's a town called Wellingborough, or something that sounds like Wellington's. But yeah, the only problem is, it's like when I tested out, when we were getting ready. Do you remember when we had the game in our garage, in my garage, and we were testing out the lists for Swansea, and I played with my list, and I absolutely fucking hated how it worked, and I had to change the list because it did not work how I wanted it to. I wasn't enjoying it, and I changed it and had a much better time. I hope that that doesn't happen again.
So, I mean, here's my thing, right? If you run something like a War Master, especially, you are going into that game knowing that this thing is not going to perform to its points cost. Like, you have already conceded the fact that it is not going to be optimized. You are not pulling off some like crazy shit, because you have this just like 1,000 point sink in your list. So I think it will be a lot more tolerable than like putting together like a mismatch of different what they're called.
Legios,
I not Legios.
Maniples.
Maniples, thank you. Maniples. You might find that you don't actually like the combination of them working together, or some of the rules maybe just frustrate you or annoying.
Yeah, the
I'm just
only
trying to
thing
get
is
in.
I really wish that I'd assembled my War Master for my Gryphonicus differently, because he's got laser black turbo laser destructors in his armpits. I should have put plasma guns in there, because they're so much better.
You magnetize.
No, I didn't.
Even I magnetized. I'm lazy
No,
fuck.
I didn't know how to didn't know how to magnetize it, because I got it right as soon as it came out. So, yeah, stupidly, it is glued in there. But they are, yeah, OP, which is probably a reason for me not to take it anyway. But yeah, maybe I'll have to have a look. I'll have to have a look. I've got 3 days left to do something, of which one night I'm out doing something else. So I'm gonna have 2 nights to paint up any
Two
last
nights,
minute
I
bits,
believe.
as well as edit this podcast and get it out in time. Good luck me, I guess.
Have fun, but guess what? You'll get to do a however many hour drive on Saturday.
It's only going to be about 2.5, 3. So,
Okay, that's right.
yeah,
Yeah,
and it
we've just got to
doesn't.
get there early, haven't
Yeah,
we?
it doesn't start until, well, registration's 9 o'clock. Briefing is at 9:30, so we should arrive there by 8:30, 9 o'clock, hopefully.
You know what I'm excited for? Service station breakfast. Let's go.
Yeah, Yeah, there'll definitely be a
greasy, horrible food from the service station.
Dirty McDonald's at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. There's nothing better.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of, in fact, the last time that I did a trip like this was for Tom Stallard's other event up in Cheltenham. And me and Oliver did that. And that was another early morning, but it wasn't quite as early as we're planning on going up for this one. Talking of Oliver, what do you think he's going to take? Oliver, if you watch any of our back reps, you'll have seen him. And he was also did a podcast with us last year on Lanny Ascara. And he's also painted most of my cabinet. He is a self-confessed, like, chilled out player. He's not a tournament player. He doesn't enjoy the kind of competitive scene. So he is well in his element, excited for this sort of narrative weekend. I know he's talked about a few kind of different combinations. What do you think he's going to take?
Has he not confirmed it at this point?
It keeps changing.
Did I see a message?
I'm not sure.
Let's get out the phone.
Because he was talking at one point about taking all Ossidax, because he was asking about borrowing some of mine.
God, it'd be so sick. That would be so sick.
And
they're really, really...
Then there was, I think, an Ossidax and Solaria mix, I think, was confirmed at one point. And I'm not sure where he landed on.
I'm just looking at one of the photos he sent. You know what scares me? The number of models in these lists. I'm looking at that and I'm like, oh, the activation count. Here we go. Okay, so we have got Furians and Lanny Ascara.
Oh, so he's taking the list that I jokingly said that I wouldn't be taking.
Furians, Arcus.
Oh, okay. Arcus is okay. But
oh, wait, no. Oh, my God. No, they are Solaria. Excuse me. They are Solaria Warhounds. Actually, there we go. Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
Tomb of Solaria Warhounds with some fire support to back them up.
Yeah, and that Arcus for the for the Furians, probably going to have, what's it called? Hunting Orb specs on them. So that makes them even... less that means that you're indirect firing on a minus one with the Warbringer. That's nice. Over 12 inches.
Damn. I mean, with a swarm of Warhounds, if they're closer to you than 12 inches, you're in trouble already.
Well, I mean, you're, what are they, scale 9? Scale 9, aren't they? So you've only got a 3-inch grace there anyway, because under 9 inches you're not firing any carapace at them.
Exactly.
But yeah, the hunting ore specs, one less minus one over 12 inches is strong. And I wonder if he'll be taking like the Camellia line shrouding on his Solaria. So harder to hit for him, adding minuses ones for him moving up the board and taking one less minus. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he does. I think he's pretty excited about having a weekend away.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's going to be so sick.
And this is a business expense, guys, as well. You know, this is, you know, maximal fire road trip staff meeting. So we'll put it all on
legally. This is a business expense.
Yeah, tax rebate, all of that kind of stuff. Write it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, business meeting, business meal, business petrol. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Yeah, we might need to order £100 worth of McDonald's.
Hey, wait.
The weekend.
We're not. We are not Johnny Corr of the Battle Book Store. Okay?
Do you reckon he claimed that as well? Oh.
Our income cannot withstand a £250 chicken order.
Oh my God! Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, it was the second chicken apocalypse at Beachhead. So it started the year before at the first Beachhead. And when we ordered the food, they had to send two delivery drivers to deliver all of the food. There was so much food, it had to be sent by two drivers.
Fucking way.
There was over 90 wings ordered on that one. 90 wings, a bunch of wraps.
45 chickens worth of chicken. What the shit, Johnny?
Many chickens died to bring you this dinner. So yeah, that was the chicken apocalypse one. And then I think the following year we did it again. I reckon since then they must have installed like a bat phone, like a phone that recognizes his number coming through. It's like a big old-fashioned black rotary dial telephone with a big red big red buzzer on the top that they pick up and go, "It's time."
Yeah. It's like Ghostbusters, like, "We got one."
I don't think
the alarms go off. They're all like,
I don't think it was as bad last time, but many, many more chickens died. I mean, we were feeding like 10 people or something. So it's not like, no, I nearly said it's not like it was excessive.
It's like six chickens of people.
It was excessive. But yeah. Yeah, that's kind of become a thing now, I think. So Beachheads obviously is coming round 10th and 11th of February next year. We are sold out, actually, as a quick segue. So yeah, we are sold out 5 months ahead of the event, which is incredible.
Oh yeah.
I think we need to see if we can put on six more tables of terrain and see if we can get some more tickets out, because that would make that would give us 54 players for Beachhead next year. If we put on some more tickets. But it's a lot of extra terrain that we need to buy and paint and assemble. Although we will have a little bit more coming through of the Legions Imperialis release, so that might help a little bit. And we've got all of my stuff from Troublemaker Games to paint up as well. So the board that we've sort of started and then put on pause while we waited for Legions.
Yeah, for sure. And like, you know, we don't ever want to be in a position where we're taking away from other boards, because I think that's, you know, we say it time and time again, that's one of the really big things we pride ourselves on with our tournaments is the quality of our boards, which are all, you know, in my very biased opinion, pretty damn good, and very, very, very thematic.
I kind of look to the future, you know, when I'm old and grey. And, you know, we're no longer doing this podcast because, I don't know, I've got arthritis in my hands and I can't video edit or something anymore. which probably won't...
It's a bit fucking dark, dude.
Well, I mean, it probably won't be that far in the future because, you know, I turned the big 4-0 last weekend. Ugh. So, you know, I can feel it in my bones. You know, I'm getting ready for an epic midlife crisis. Let's put it that way.
If that cabinet of titans behind you didn't already scream midlife crisis, yeah, we'll see what
goes
on in the world of Alex
when I bring out the big guns. But yeah, like, there's going to be a time in the future where, like, you know, we've wrapped up the podcast, we're not doing this anymore, or we've moved on to something else, a new game or whatever, and I'm going to look at the amount of really useful boxes with all of that terrain in there and think to myself, what the fuck am I doing with all of this stuff? Because it is slowly taking over. It's like a creeping moss just slowly reclaiming back my garage.
Your sofa is just actually different sets of Titanicus terrain neatly kind of, you know, stacked so that,
And my son will be like, "Daddy, can I have some proper toys, please?" And I'll be like, "No, child, you will play with the Aeolus landing pad until you are 25. Make sure that you put on the Samson freighter, but don't touch it. You play with it in your brain. Don't actually touch it." Yeah.
You can roll these dice.
Yeah.
Now imagine what happens.
I saw a quite an amusing meme which summed up gamer adult life as a parent. And there's a picture of a little girl and the mum, and it's like, "Mummy, I found your Barbie doll. Can I have it, please?" And the mummy's like, "Oh yeah, dear, that's amazing. How wonderful, ha ha ha." And then the cut to a little boy holding up like his dad's Space Marines, and it's like, "Daddy, I found these figures in your bedroom. Put it back." Yeah.
Oh yeah. Damn.
Yes. So, yeah. Well, I think we're kind of coming to the natural conclusion of this episode. I think it'll be really interesting to kind of cut back in a week's time and sort of look at retrospectively what happened over the weekend, what we took, how we thought it went. And yeah, then we'll kind of dissect in a bit more and do check out the vlog, which Johnny's promised me he's going to do.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's happening. I've said it on air now.
Yeah.
And that is a legally binding contract.
It absolutely is.
It absolutely is not. But it will be done.
Yeah. Whack
in the comments whether you want myself and Alex to do our War Master lists, or whether you want to see the mixed.
It might be too late by the time this goes out. Because depending on when I get this out, the bags may already be packed.
Damn. Yeah. Okay, well, do it for me then, because I'm the most indecisive person around.
I tell you what, instead, tell us what you think would be the most broken combo.
Oh, hell
that you could do with 2,500 points and multiple Legios or multiple Titans, and let us know what you think about that in the comments. Like, if we were bringing our saltiest A game, no fun for anybody, what would be your impression, your opinions as to what we should take? I'd be really interested to see, especially following on from kind of the tier list episode, like what people's perspective of that is. Sort of from
2,500 points of Armagers.
You'd have to have at least a couple of regular knights to take them, though.
You just like flip the narrative rule. You just bully the TO a bit. Let them take you just 2,500 points.
This army is themed.
This is themed.
The theme is, I'm now getting a divorce from my wife because I've spent over 2,000 points on 2,000 pounds on tiny armatures.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Loves it.
Yeah. I really enjoy talking about the tier list, though. I really enjoyed doing the tier list, and I think that we might have to kind of look at doing some more of those. Now, I know people are still crying out for the Titan Traitor Legios ranked episode, so we might have to seriously look into doing that. And also Maniples. I thought we could look at some Maniples, everything that's available, and tier list some Maniples for you all. So yeah, that was a good episode. I enjoyed recording that. It seems to have been well received. But obviously do let us know what your thoughts were, not only on the episode, but also let us know your thoughts generally about the content that we're putting out on our listeners survey. We do appreciate any comments, as long as it's constructive. I can't put up with any more death threats through my email or people saying you shit in public. Please be constructive. Don't make me cry. Hopefully kind of as we kind of get ready to go into 2024, we'll be able to bring a bit more sort of stuff. We're playing around with loads of ideas for next year. As if you follow the podcast for any length of time, you'll know that we try and sort of shake things up every now and again, and kind of each year sort of bring in something new. Like we brought in the video podcasts 1 year, and then sort of this remote format. I think we would like to return at some point to kind of an in-person podcast format, but for that we need to invest in some different gear. But if we do get to do that, then we can also then do some live at events content as well, which is something that we'd really like to do. We'd really like to be able to kind of give you a look at Beachhead, for instance, and like an on the day live stream or something of, you know,
live studio audience.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So still big plans ahead for us. As long as you guys keep tuning in and keep wanting us to keep doing it.
Hell yeah, definitely. I think this year's been a busy one for both of us, a bit of a crazy one for both of us. So hopefully next year, fingers crossed, touch wood, all of that, will be a little bit more stable. And hopefully we'll be able to, you know, have a look at starting to, you know, crank back up the battle report factory.
Yeah.
And get some, you know, we're playing around with with some different ways we're gonna, you know, film our bat reps, for like, you know, just better visual entertainment and also making editing easier. I think if we both had an unlimited amount of time, we would be doing so much stuff. But you know, you really have to.
Yeah, you have to prioritize. You know, because you know, we have lives and we have different schedules, and we only get together when we can get together. And so we have to decide whether or not that is a bat rep night or that is a podcast night. And we know that you guys want regular content and bat reps. For every one bat rep we do, we could probably do three podcasts. So there is kind of that trade-off. Although I have recently done some stuff to my garage, so hopefully we can, you know, maybe move in to my location where there's less setup time, because I have most of the terrain and stuff, so I don't have to take it to Johnny's in the room that he sat in now. But yeah, it's definitely all kind of on the cards at the moment, and as we look to continue to progress the channel. Any parting words of wisdom?
Please, someone, let me take 2,500 points of Legio Volpa, but use Legio Tritonus's stratagems.
So
thank you.
So you want Volpa, but with the benefits of Tritonus without having to take Tritonus?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a small ask, right? You know?
Dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you again next time on that bombshell.
Always remember. That's it. The channel's over. I quit.
That's it. No, I'm done. Headphones off. Storming out.
Strops out of his room.
No. Never again.
Carefully rearranges one of his titans that's slightly out of place and then slams the door on his exit.
Oh, dear. But yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll let you know how it goes. And we'll see you again next time. So always remember to go big, go loud, and Mr. Johnny, what do?
We go maximal.